All right, I will now call the meeting to order.
All right. Welcome to the October 2nd, 2024 Street Use Staff Commission virtual meeting. We're going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you may reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, members, if you are able, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you are speaking. The chair and committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Use the raise hand feature when you would like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all panelists will be unmuted briefly. Staff, click raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. The clerk will tell you when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you a question. Please do not use your video. If you turn your video on, it will be shut off.
All right, thank you. We will now ask for a roll call. Members of the committee, please unmute yourselves and say present when your name is called. Scott Busey.
Present.
Scott is present. Scott Strasberg.
Present.
Scott is present. Caitlin Updike.
Present.
Caitlin's present. Lieutenant Jen Hanna.
Present.
Jen is present. Megan Blake Horst.
Present.
Megan's present. Jeremy Nash.
Present.
Jeremy's present. John Farney.
Present.
John is present. Taylor Dietzman.
Good morning. Present.
Taylor is present. We do have a quorum.
Right. In a virtual meeting like this, it is particularly important that we fo carefully follow Robert's Rules of Order. Therefore, please do not speak until you have raised your hand and been recognized by the chair. The chair will ask for a motion and a second for each agenda item, unless it is noticed for discussion only. Any member wishing to join the debate or move an amendment will also have to raise their hand and be recognized by the chair. Similarly, if you have some other matter to bring to the attention of the chair, such as a point of order or request for information, please use the raise hand function.
All right, approval of minutes. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from the September 4th and 18th meetings? Caitlin and motion, Megan second. On the motion to approve, is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote to approve the minutes? All right, seeing none, the motion passes. Agenda item number one, legislative ID 85402 is public comment. And we have no public comment for items that are not on the agenda. Disclosures and recusals. Members of the body should make any required disclosures or recusals under the city's ethics code. Members, please use the raise hand function if you have any disclosures or recusals on any agenda items. All right. There are no disclosures or recusals. Oh, yep, no disclosures or recusals today. All right, then agenda item number two, legislative ID 85402, street use permit application. Oh, wait. I think I have the wrong legislative ID number. Hold on a sec.
Tim Sabota now present. Sorry, I was late.
Okay, Tim is present. Thanks, Tim. Okay. Nope, that is the right number. I had the wrong number for public comment, but okay. So agenda item two, legislative ID 85402, street use permit application for the Jack Koch Memorial 5K. We have one registered speaker for this item. James Lynch has registered in support and does wish to speak. Can we have a motion and a second to approve this for discussion and voting? Motion, Tim. Second, Caitlin. All right. Good morning, James. You're welcome to unmute yourself when you're ready and go ahead and tell us about the second year of this event.
Hi guys. I'm Jimmy, or James, I guess. Doesn't really matter either way. So the Jack Koch Memorial 5K is a 5K race. at our fraternity, Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity at UW Madison. In May of 2023, a kid named Jack passed away in a boating accident. He's from New York. He was in my grade. He was a good friend of mine. In May 23, 2023, passed away in a boating accident. So we wanted to find a way to honor him and keep his memory alive and remember him. And he was big into fitness, so we thought a 5K would be a good idea. So last fall we had the first Jack Hodge Memorial 5K on, I think, basically the same date, maybe October 21st instead of the 19th, just, different year, different weeks. So yeah, we wanted to do it again this year. I've created the route, sent in the permit, and yeah, it's 5K. All proceeds will go to charity. We haven't quite decided which charity yet, whether it be the Safe Harbor Child Advocacy Center, which is in Madison, up by the Dane County Airport, which is a child advocacy center for abused and neglected children, or we are also considering donating all the proceeds to New York first responders, because that's where Jack was from and that's where he passed away.
All right, thank you. So the difference this year, last year you closed, I think it was one, maybe two blocks in Langdon. So this year they requested to close Langdon from Wisconsin to Lake. And then the rest of the route will be using sidewalks. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, anything like Langdon, we just want to get as much blocked off as possible. But it's not we're from Wisconsin to Lake, but that's not like a deal breaker if we can't get the entire street blocked off.
Okay. And then also at least on the rest of the course where the streets aren't closed, the participants would be obeying traffic signals. Is
Yes,
that
it'd
correct?
be
Okay.
okay. They'd be obeying traffic signals, and we'd have, like we did last year, we'd have volunteers or people who didn't want to run from our fraternity who would be along the route, stationed at like points where people would be turning or at intersections to help make the route run smoothly.
Okay. Okay, and you did discuss the road, I believe, with our transportation team. Well, I guess we'll just go through each agency and see what feedback we have. I can pull up the route as well. That might be helpful. Alrighty. So the black would be the requested closure, and then the red is sidewalks obeying traffic signals. So let's go with Julie and Risk.
Hi. So we did have a certificate on file, a certificate of insurance on file for last year. So if we could just get an updated one, it looks like this one expired July 1st.
Right. Thank you. Scott with fire.
The only thing that we would request is that if you're going to have State Street, or excuse me, Langdon, excuse me, blocked off, wherever you have those barricades, need to have staff with them to quickly move them. That's quite a bit of stuff that we have. We need to cross and or get down on Langdon Street to get into those areas. So we would have to have somebody staff any barricades to get those moved right away if need be.
All right. And James, can you confirm there's nothing set up in the street?
No, there's nothing set up. It's just like the setup for the race, like I said, the starting line is all on our like front porch and the sidewalk. The only thing that's in the street would be the runners on Langdon. And
Okay,
once,
so nothing that's blocking any of the cross streets while you're running?
no, just like barricades. And like you
Yeah.
said, I can have people there to easily move them. Like once people run up Langdon to start going east, we can move the barricades right away because
Okay.
we're not going to need that part of the street once people are
Perfect.
gone.
Yep. That's as long as they get them either moved right away or you have them staffed so that we can get through there if need be. So, okay. That's
Okay.
what we have.
All right, thank you. Jeremy, traffic engineering.
Yeah, thank you for reaching out ahead of time about the route. I appreciate that. Just a couple comments. I'd say I'd really stress to participants to follow the traffic laws. Maybe if you have like loudspeaker at the beginning, just give another reminder. And my other comment was, do you need, I forget how last year operated, but did you pick up barricades from the city?
Yes, we did. We don't have any barricades.
Awesome. Would you like to do the same thing this year? Okay.
Yes, yeah, if possible.
Sounds good. I will put you down for that. Otherwise, you should be good to go. Thanks.
Thank you.
And I guess based on what Fire just explained and James, what you said, so the start finish is on 200 Langdon. Is that where those circles are?
Yeah, on the green, they're both the green circle. Technically, that's right in front of our house. I just couldn't when I was making it on MapMyRun, I was trying to get the second circle right over the green one as possible. So that's yeah. The green
Okay.
circle right there is the start and the finish line.
I'm just trying to figure out which block. So that's good. So you're saying from there they're going to go east.
Yes, they'll run east and then turn down Wisconsin.
Okay, and then so if the closure for all of Langdon is approved, and they're starting there and they're going east, and then your volunteers would remove the barricades east of 200. Or east of, I guess, 300. Anyways, I'm just curious how that would work with the other section of Langdon that would potentially be closed.
We could move. I mean, we could just wait till 9, or we could move where the house is 221. The next cross street is very close. Let me just look quickly what it is. Henry Street, we could just keep it blocked off up until Henry Street, but from Henry until Wisconsin, I believe, it's where the first turn is. We could remove the barricades there and open that up.
Okay, so Henry to Wisconsin. I mean, okay, so if the full closure on the map is approved, Henry to Wisconsin would be reopened right away. And then Henry to Lake would remain closed until the end of the race.
Yeah.
And then can you just remind me what time the race starts?
The race will probably start right at we'll start like the announcements and the service, whatever people will say a few things quickly. That'll be between 8 and 8:15. So the race should start between 8:10 and 8:15, and we should be all done by 9 a.m.
Okay. So it's safe to say Henry to Wisconsin would reopen by 8:30 and then Henry to Lake would reopen by 9. Okay. All right, then let's go with Lieutenant Hannah.
Hey, Jimmy, did you speak with somebody from the police department and Metro?
I spoke with Tim Sabota, I believe was from Metro, but I tried to contact the police and I've not heard back. So
Okay.
no.
All right. Because I don't remember speaking to you, but I'm old and I could have forgotten. We are fine with this event as long as Metro is okay with it. And if they need us to facilitate anything, we're going to require some police officers. So I will leave it up to Metro. Otherwise, your event is fine. But again, if they need us somewhere, you'll end up having to pay for some cops.
Okay.
And I did actually, just to remind you, Jen, last year we required, so when they're crossing Lake, and this might have had to do with Metro, so maybe we need to hear from Tim. But we did have them put barricades. Let me see what the exact language was on their permit.
Yeah, Kelly, I remember that, and I remember that there was an issue at that intersection. Something about Lake Street was not flowing right. And I think the buses go down that road. I would probably at least put one cop there.
Okay. Well,
I don't think the barricades were moved, or there wasn't somebody there moving it to let cars go through, something to that nature.
let's hear from Tim Sabota from Metro, and then we'll figure it out.
So for Metro Transit, we had the applicant and myself had talked about kind of how the route would align, what would be a full closure, and what would be sidewalk and following pedestrian regulations. Metro has no scheduled service on the full closure area from Lake East to Wisconsin until about 6:30 at night, so we're not concerned about that full closure. As far as the route crossing Johnson and Gorham on both Butler and Blair, we do have buses going east and west. There's general traffic going east and west on Johnson and East Gorham. So again, with the understanding that the event is going to be following pedestrian regulations, that sounded fine. And then because northbound Lake Street is not closed, again, they're going to be on Lower State Street, which does not have bus service, crossing Lake Street to the State Street Pedestrian Mall. Yes, that's going to be the pedestrian regulation is vehicles need to yield to pedestrians at that stop sign. So it will be if pedestrians are there, vehicles are going to have to yield to the pedestrians and event participants. What was the estimated number of participants for the applicant? That's a question to the applicant.
Around 300.
300. And so I don't know, Lieutenant Hannah, if you have a experiential judgment, is this going to be substantially different than a UW class break when there's lots of pedestrians there and traffic on Lake Street is trying to find a gap that would warrant anything above and beyond?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think as long as everybody's following the rules and we should be fine, and I would recommend like no barricades on Lake Street this year, because if no one's gonna move them when cars need to get through, let's scrap that. And yeah, I guess the biggest thing is following those laws, and we're good with that.
Yep. So yeah, I mean, buses will be yielding to pedestrians at a stop sign and a crosswalk as the buses go north on Lake across State Street Mall. The buses will also be making that left turn from Lake onto Langdon, kind of kitty corner from the race event that would be in the northeast corner. Buses are kind of using the southwest part of that intersection. And then finally, buses would be westbound on Langdon, right on Park, and left on Observatory. But again, if that course is sidewalk on Park Street, again, the buses are just going to yield to pedestrians at a crosswalk at a stop sign on Langdon at Park, and then turning left onto Observatory. So again, that is much like a class break. Lots of pedestrians and vehicles just have to wait at the stop sign for the crosswalk.
Okay. So James, I guess I'd like to talk through where you're going to have people stationed, because it seems to me, I guess I just want to confirm that. So it sounds like you'll need some at the barricades that are along Langdon, for emergency access, but like at the beginning, you won't need them for very long. And then other key kind of where they're crossing Gorham, where they're crossing Johnson, at both, all four of those points, I think definitely would be needed. And then it'd probably be good to have one down at State and Lake, just to, ensure they're not impacting traffic and obeying the rules. Any other locations that staff think we should require volunteers?
The only question I would have from a general traffic perspective is I don't recall off the top of my head, East Johnson, East Gorham at Blair, are those traffic signals with pedestrian walk lights, and or Butler at both intersections, are those signals with walk lights or are they a stop sign? That would be kind of my only question if the Johnson Gorham crossings, if any of them are non-signalized pedestrian crossings, with a heavier volume of general traffic, would be my only thought again.
I did recommend they have some there. I guess I don't know off the top of my head. I think they're both controlled crosswalks, but
So what am I looking at? It looked like East Gorham at Blair is just the crosswalk without a traffic signal.
okay.
If I'm reading Google Maps correctly in the aerial, at Butler, Gorham at Butler is also just a crosswalk without a traffic light.
Okay.
But East Johnson at Butler does have traffic signal. East Johnson at Blair has a traffic signal for pedestrians.
Okay. Yeah, still all four of those, just because that traffic is.
Yeah, so East Gorham at Blair and Butler may benefit from some level of marshalling, but that would be my only thought.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so if we are closing Langdon, you'll need to post no parking all along there. Is that the intention to remove parking, and have it be enforced? Or it's just if you're going to close the street, you don't want a bunch of cars in there that need to get in and out while you're having your event. So I guess what were your thoughts, James? Did you want to post no parking? Do we need to require he post no parking? I guess, James, would you want to, if you didn't post no parking, you'd have to have a more volunteers, I think, and to allow vehicles in and out. But Taylor, go ahead.
We have had race events where they have run around vehicles. A good example is the ones that do the lake loop. And then, over on Winona Way, it's kind of a toss 50-50. Sometimes the event wants us to remove the parking on that road, but because it is such a wide road, most events don't feel it's necessary, so they just kind of operate around the parked vehicles. Langdon is such a busy area, hard to tell on that date if it might have a ton of vehicle traffic trying to move around. It might be advised, though, to have that parking removed. I know that wasn't really the intention because it is assumed since parking is only allowed on one side, they could maybe run on the no parking side of the street. So I guess that is kind of up to the organizer if they feel vehicle traffic won't be an issue for runners. It's gone both ways. Like I said, some organizers of races don't feel that they need to worry about it. Sometimes it is a big concern for them.
All right, James, what were you thinking with the parking on LinkedIn?
I was thinking we don't, there was no need for no parking. That was just my plan. I think that the street, I mean, Lane's like looking at it right now. It's big enough. We didn't make people move their cars last year.
Okay.
And I think there was one person during the race who left, and we just kind of guided them out.
Yeah.
We didn't have any other issues other than that, so I was my intention was not to put up signs for no parking.
Does anyone want to comment on that further? Okay. Let's see. Megan, did you have any thoughts?
No, there's nothing vending related, and it's far enough away from all the other activities that are happening around the square or on the 100 block that day. So I think, and it's early enough that those other activities are at different times. So I think it should be fine.
Is anyone in the State Street Mall then?
Not that I'm aware of at this moment.
Okay. All right. So I think that's all the impacted agencies. We'll go through the draft permit. And then we'll see if there's any further discussion. So this is the draft permit for the Jack Koch Memorial 5K on this Saturday, October 19th, 2024, with setup beginning at 6:30 on the fraternity property. Street closure. Oh, the request is to close the full Lang Street from Lake to Wisconsin from 7:30 a.m. to 9:15. I will update that to say from Henry to Wisconsin will be reopened by 8:15, and Henry to Lake will then be closed but reopening at 9. We will not be posting parking for this. So there'll be indemnification for the city. Certificate of insurance is required and not on file yet. We'll ask that you notify the area elders, and these are, I'll send this to you afterwards. These are all the elders on the route. We are not requiring special duty officers. We'll ask that you notify the Central Business Improvement District. We'll have you call the Sales Street Garage to get the barricades. We'll ask that you notify all participants that they must use sidewalks, obey traffic signals, and marshals along the route when not on the street closure. Do not need to call parking. Marshals will be stationed at key intersections as determined by MPD. Organizer must ensure marshals are visible with safety vests and are instructed on how to direct participants during the race at their location. I'm going to add a condition about having marshals at the barricades on Langdon. Race participants will obey traffic laws on the course and use sidewalks, except on Langdon and State. I guess we didn't specifically talk about State. There still is a pedestrian experiment, and I guess I'm not sure if it's going on at that time necessarily, but any thoughts on allowing them in the street on that, those two blocks of State? Go ahead, Tim.
Did I just see a city press release? And Megan, I don't know if you know better. The October 31st is the end date of the experiment.
The 30th.
Or 30th.
I believe it's the 30th. Yep.
So Metro has
Yes.
concerns with the use of State Street. But again, that it would be more about traffic engineering. Is it a Does this want to show as a street closure, or is it a street and sidewalk situation, I guess?
Bye, Jeremy.
As my understanding is that they'd be on the sidewalk at that point. And if so, then there's no need to list that as a closure. But if the intention is to render the street, then we could list that as a closure for sure.
James, did you guys go in the street last year, or were you on the sidewalk on those State Street blocks?
We were on the sidewalk. I might have just been a mistypo. Our intention is to run on the sidewalk on State
Oh,
Street.
no. I think I was just assuming that maybe you'd want to be in the
Yeah.
street for those blacks because we don't have, just because of that pedestrian experiment down there. But okay, that's fine. That sounds great. Okay, so we're not going to have barricades at State and Lake. I'll update that as discussed. You must maintain access to any metro stops, with the exception of Langdon because there's no service during that time. Noise must be kept to a reasonable level. We'll require the 20-foot emergency access lane through the closed streets. Excuse me, the ADA accessible pathway and sidewalks must be maintained. No inflatables on city right of way, no permanent markings, and you're responsible to clean up. Any further thoughts or discussion on the Jack Coach 5K? All right, on the motion to approve, is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote on item number two? Okay, motion passes. Thanks, James.
Thank you all.
All right, agenda item three, legislative ID 85403, street use permit application for the Homie Fest 3. We have one registered speaker, Jackson Scott. Oh. I wrote that really bad. Snedegger has registered in support, does not wish to speak, but is available to answer questions. Let me just double check my registration here. Okay. Can we have a motion and a second to approve this for discussion and vote? Motion Scott, second Caitlin. All right, let's see. Good morning, Jack. Are you here with the Homey Fest 3?
Hi, I am. I'm handling a quick work responsibility. Is it okay if we circle back to me next?
Okay, that's fine with me.
Thank you so much. I'll be free in about 5 minutes.
Okay, sounds good.
Appreciate it.
Yep. All right, so we're going to go agenda item 4, legislative ID 85417, street use permit. Excuse me. Application for the Scoop the Vote tour. We have one registered speaker for this item. Jared Thompson is registered in support. Oh, sorry. Has registered neither support nor opposed. Does not wish to speak, but is available to answer questions. Can we have a motion and a second to approve this for discussion and voting? Motion, Megan. Second, Caitlin. All right, so this is a request for Saturday, October 5th, this Saturday. The request is for the confluence at Library Mall. So no street closure, no parking signs are requested. The event is from 12 p.m. to 7 p.m. and it includes speaking, so amplified sound, and then as well as an ice cream truck that is giving away prepackaged ice cream. Megan and I met with this group just to talk through the request and find a good location. So I guess the main thing, oh, I gotta share my screen, that I wanted to talk through is the site map and just to ensure the site that we have the emergency access lane mostly. So they also have an 8x8 foot stage. I don't think I have my notes. Jared, could you, morning, Jared, thanks for joining us. Can you tell me again the size of the ice cream truck?
Yeah, no worries. It is 7'11" wide and 26 feet long.
Okay. And then we have an 8x8 stage. So I guess I'm looking for Jeremy. I'm not sure if you can kind of figure out these dimensions here, or do you have a handy tool for that?
I can take a look real quick.
Okay. And then I also wanted to check in with Scott with fire and just kind of confirm where we need to maintain the emergency access lane. So obviously through here and through here, but how does that work in this area if we maintain it from East Campus Mall or?
Yeah, East Campus Mall coming up into that is part of the fire lane that comes up through there. We have normally tried to keep that open so that we can make the turn there and that, but it's not something that depending on what's there, that looks like the stage, if the stage is pushed back far enough, we can make that corner. We're okay, the people will be all right. But we are, you know, it is something that we've been trying to keep one of these two directions open. So
okay, so I wonder if, and Jared, yeah, so Scott's, just to confirm, Scott is saying, you know, that they need to come up East Campus Mall and be able to turn, but there's these concrete structures here. So, and it's fine to have people there because people will move when the emergency vehicle comes through. But go ahead, Jared.
Yeah, I was just going to say, no, that's super helpful to know. And I think like both on the stage, as far as placements, we can be very flexible on that. I would also say like right now we are tracking towards 150 RSVPs historically at these. This is part of a nationwide tour that we see about a third of folks flake from that. So we're looking probably more like 75 to 100 people there. So I think at that level, like that's kind of borderline for us on whether we include a stage or not. We wanted to obviously put that in front of you all for consideration, but that stage is ultimately optional. And I think if we don't see a large increase in RSVPs here in the next few days, we probably we'll probably cut that, in which case, like, it would just be a podium that we can put right in front of the truck. And we will have staff as well as a unarmed private security folks that can also help with any crowd movements in case of emergency.
Okay, that's real helpful. Who's going to put up, if you do the stage, when you're talking stage, what exactly is that? Or is it a, who's putting it up? Is it something, and again, it sounds like it's going to be relatively small. It's not like 26 foot by so if it's is it just a wood stage that's put up? Is it aluminum stage that they bring in with? You know, is it something that needs to be looked at by an engineer? Is it that big? You know, so it doesn't sound like it is at this point. But that was
no, it's an 8x8. I can follow up with the vendor that's bringing it on the specific style of stage. Usually these are just like at the 8x8 level, it's usually just kind of a quick pop-up one. So it would be usually how they do it is two pieces of decking that have a hinge and then the legs at the bottom. It would only be 12 inches high. So it's a short stage as well. It's just to give them a little elevation. So that usually comes folded. They pop it up, toss the legs on it and just lay it down.
Okay. So it's really be relatively easy to move then as well.
100%. Absolutely.
So that would help a little bit, but we would try and, you know, so we could give you a little on that, but we would like to try and keep as much of that area open so we can get through either, you know, straight through from Langdon on through or come up that way and make a corner if need be, because that's right where the our fire department connection is for one of those buildings. But I think that's doable from what you're sounding or what you're talking about there. If a podium would be great, but if not, the stage quickly removable, but otherwise keep it moved back as far as you can.
That sounds great. And that's something we can definitely do. And I think our plan is to have our, you know, I think the 12 o'clock start time is, you know, we'll probably have our staff get there even earlier just to kind of scope out the space and make sure that like everything, you know, that if there's anything that pops up, any construction, anything like that for routing the truck in. And I think what we'll have them do when they arrive as well is just like map out, like if, you know, I think what we've got here in this site map, I think is our best guess of what is going to make the most sense with that. If you think that like, you know, or if we see on site, like, you know, putting it slightly, off center of that location or something gives even more space for you all. I think that's something that they can also coordinate on site.
Okay. Yeah. As long as we're not getting in the way of the other stuff that's there. I know there's food carts and other types of things there, but I'm sure others will speak to that as well. But so, okay. Thank you.
All right, let's go, Jeremy.
I was just going to mention, I got, I was measuring 34 feet from kind of at its narrowest, right in the library mall, 34 feet would be the width.
Okay, so 34 feet width, and if so. So plenty, if the stage can be movable, it seems like the ice cream truck would fit. With plenty of 20 foot. I do wonder if it might make sense if you are going to get a stage, if the ice cream truck could just be over this way and the stage could be over this way a little bit. But also going to let Megan speak, because I'm wondering if we're encroaching on UW property at this point, or Megan, any other input?
Yeah, so I can also be down there around that time when you're loading in, just to give you know, some advice as you're setting up. But as you're standing in where that yellow star is, if you kind of look to your right and your left, you'll see that there's like the width of the road, and that's kind of where you want to stay out of. And there's kind of a slightly lighter section that kind of would help you understand where to be back to. At that point, I do not believe that we're encroaching in UW property. It's my understanding that little arc at the top by the grass is still City of Madison property. Although it's tucks back and the truck won't fit in it. It will fit right up alongside of it. And then the stage should be able to be placed to still provide that access. There are no other food carts or other activities down there at this time that I'm aware of. Most everybody will be up at the top of State Street and around the Capitol Square. So it should work out pretty well. And you can enter, depending on what side your service window is on, either from Park Street or Lake Street. If your service window is on the passenger side, you'll want to enter from Park. And if it's on the driver's side, you'll want to enter from Lake. And you can drive. There's a wide apron that you should be able to drive up without a problem. To do that, just to remember when you're placing your vehicles for unloading that they're not in the emergency access lane, that they're kind of off to the side when you're doing that. And then removing any vehicles that aren't necessary out of the way so they're not in the way. I mean, I think it should work pretty well.
That sounds good. I was going to say, if you are also there, like we can also make sure I can connect you with the folks that will be on the ground ahead of time as well. And like, I'm happy for that to be an on-site final decision, even if we don't cut the stage beforehand based on RSVPs of like, I can give them the direction of like connect with you or anyone else that's on there. And if it's looking tight, just cut it so that we don't run into any unnecessary issues as well.
Yeah, I think it should be well. The only thing, or fine, the only thing there might be a few people with TE or M permits that are expressing themselves in the area. And so they do have permits for sites in that area, although they're not always out. And this site location shouldn't displace them, but there may be people with tables expressing themselves politically, religiously, or otherwise. But they should be not in the way of where your setup is at this time.
That's great. And that's great to know. We'll notify our staff as well. Everyone that is on site, both on our side as the production folks, as well as the client side, they have de-escalation trainings, and they are very well aware and equipped to be able to work with folks, no matter whether they are in agreement or not with what we'll be doing. So that is something that's good for them to be aware of, but they're very, very good at being respectful in that space.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, Megan. That was really helpful. Julie, do they need insurance for this?
Eric's only question about this one was, so no insurance if you are vending just into the, like, it doesn't look like you're vending on the street. Is that correct? That was Eric's only question. If the trucks were going to be vending towards the street, he wanted insurance. But if it looks like this is the location, you should be good.
Yeah, I think it's good.
This is technically a street, though. It's technically the 700 and 800 block of State Street. Although they're not vending, they're just giving away ice cream.
Yeah, no, I think we should be good. We don't need insurance for this one. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. Malcrew has no concerns. They're kind of in charge of this area. But just to reiterate, the power down there is not guaranteed. You'll definitely want to bring your own power source. All right, I'm going to share the draft permit and then see if anything else comes up. So this is the draft street use permit for Scoop the Boat Tour for this Saturday, October 5th at the Confluence at Library Mall. No street closure, no parking requested. Setup begins at 12 p.m. The event estimated time is 1 to 6, although that's a very generous time, but it'll be within that time. And then takedown is by 7. Let's see. Megan, go ahead.
In their narrative of activities, it says 11 a.m., but the top of the permit where it has the time, it says 12. So can we confirm if it's 11 or 12 that you plan to arrive for setup?
That's that's great. I think any actual equipment or anything wouldn't be until 12. We'll just have our staff there to, again, just to make sure that like everything's looking good. That 11:30 that's in that was also a typo. That should be 12:30. So our staff will get there early, but no equipment or anything is coming until afternoon. And as far as the program, the actual speaking program is going to be very short as well. We're expecting no more than 30 minutes, and most of them have been closer to like 20 minutes of actual speaking program, and the rest is just engaging with folks that are there.
Perfect. Okay, so there'll be indemnification for the city. We'll ask you to notify the area alders. I'll send you this contact information right away today. Coordinate with Megan. Her phone number and email are on here, so you can share that with those who will be on site. We'll ask you to notify the Central Business Improvement District. This is no street closure request for parking sidewalk space only, and the request is for the confluence at Library Mall. Noise must be kept to a reasonable level. 20-foot emergency access lane must be maintained. ADA accessible pathway must be maintained through the area. No inflatables on city right-of-way, no permanent markings, and you are required to clean up. All right, any further discussion on Scoop the Vote Tour? On the motion to approve, is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote on item number 4? I've seen none, the motion passes. Thank you, Jared. We'll get that out to you very soon.
Kelly, can I just really quick, Jared, before you jump off, could you please give them my email? I am not at my phone often, so email is best and we can connect that way.
Absolutely. Yep. We'll get that connection today. But thank you all. And Megan also, and Kelly, you've got my information. If there's anything else that that pops up in the next few days, don't hesitate to reach out. We're happy to be collaborative on anything.
Oh, Jared, I'm sorry. I did want to ask if you have managed to connect with the UW.
They were the contact there was out of the office, but we are going to continue to follow up. If not, our team that gets on the ground usually is pretty good about connecting with any like security offices in the area as well, just to make sure that they know who they are, what's going on, all of that, if we're not able to get in contact with them ahead of time.
Okay, I'll send you a couple more contacts. And yeah, it's just more a matter they're gonna know want to know beforehand that it's happening. Totally. But I think with the numbers you're anticipating, I don't think they'll have any concerns. But they can also let you know if anything's scheduled in their space.
Totally.
Which is right next to your space. Totally. Okay.
Can do.
Great. Thank you, Jared.
Thanks all.
All right, let's go back to agenda item 3, legislative ID 85403, street use permit application for the Homey Fest 3. We have one registered speaker. Oh, we already did all this. Okay, so we have a motion and a second to approve this for discussion and voting. And so this is not, again, no street closure is requested with this. The request is for 18 meters for an event that is near the corner of Webster and Main Street. And the meters are requested for event load in, load out, because it's a concert with a bunch of bands. So they need to load in, load out. And I did speak with Herking about this. I wasn't sure if 18 spots was kind of a lot for our last farmer's market. Also spoke with the applicant Stewart about it. And he indicated there is some flexibility on the timing. So they're asking for it to start 12 p.m. Oh,
I think we submitted it for 11 a.m.
Okay, 11 a.m. Anyways, parking didn't have any concerns, but Taylor, is there anything you want to talk about?
Not so much. I think the main concern about this area is if the Majestic already has a fair portion of the 200 block of East Main reserved. I know that they've been pretty consistent all construction season with having their event crews using some meters on that block for their load in and load out purposes. So there might be a little bit of confliction there. I do understand the concern of the market confliction. I know that people could park a little bit further away. Hopefully the ramps wouldn't be too full so the customers for the market could still have availability for their parking needs. excuse me. I don't have too much concern outside of
possibly just those meters that might already be occupied for the use of the Majestic, since they've been kind of hanging around in that area a lot. But it seems like this is a very doable request. There are plenty of meters in that area. If there is any way, if that's, you know, a little bit too close to the market, maybe they might need to go just a slight bit further out. You know, South Butler is an option. They could go into the next block of East Main. I realize that's kind of a haul for the equipment, but those are other options as well.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. And Jack, why don't you go ahead and also let us know how flexible you are with being in this area.
Yeah, we are very flexible with our parking needs near the venue, which is the Rigby Bar and Grill. We would like to have at least a few parking spaces directly against that building on Webster Street, if possible. But we can park anywhere in the surrounding area as long as we have space to load in near the venue. I also want to quick mention that while I'm not representing the Majestic Theater, I do work full-time for them. And we use that parking because Doty Street is currently under construction. That should be finished up within the next few weeks and finish ahead of our event on November 9th.
All right. Inside scoop. Okay. Any other questions, thoughts on this request? All right. I'm going to share the... Go ahead, Tim.
So will buses stay on the square with the impacts on Webster Street for the farmers market this day?
It's just parking. They're requesting the meters. So there'll be no traffic changes.
So will they be on both sides of Webster or just one side?
Wherever we can offer them parking meter stalls.
So our buses operate and lay over on the east side of Webster. So again, if it'll be easier just to have the buses stay on the square that weekend versus going through this area.
I don't think there should be any impacts to Metro, but Megan, go ahead. You know what it's like down there.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there would be any change from a traditional Saturday. It's the last market of the season. But the Y closure, and so the Y closure would still be going on at Wisconsin and West Wash down State Street, that Y closure. But there is, at my understanding, there's no other events on the square. So it would be just the typical Saturday would be where they are going around most of the square and then exiting off on Wisconsin.
And so I guess my clarification is we would typically detour off the King, Pinckney, Main Y as well, except when there is an event on MLK that normally on a normal standalone farmers market, our buses would be turning right on MLK and left on Doty to go to Webster, to East Wash and back onto the square at East Wash. Buses would not be obstructed from turning onto MLK to get to Doty to Webster. But my concern is if there's going to be vehicles parked or double parked on Webster, that will impact the ability for Metro buses to use a Webster effectively, especially on the passenger side of the vehicle on the east side.
And so Tim, do they use the parking lane in a parking stall, or are they in the unmarked parking areas or unmarked areas?
It is the block from East Main forward to East Wash, curbside on the east side of Webster. So that orange line is showing use of Webster. It's not clear if they're using one or both sides.
Well, they're only using where there's legal parking stalls. They're not using any travel lanes, any no parking zones. Everything should be parked legally. There should be no double parking.
So is that posted no stopping standing parking or just no parking?
It should be, I believe it's straight up no parking, but it could be no stopping standing.
So if they stop and stand and unload, that will impact Metro's operations.
But they shouldn't be in that area.
All right, that's a drive-through. There's no parking on that side of the road. That's just a pure drive-through there.
The curbside lane?
That's my understanding as well.
Yeah. From East Main to West Washington.
I can pull up the
parking on that side.
Yeah, I'm trying to do that myself as we talk. I'm sorry.
Metered stalls end on the east side of South Webster at the 100 block, right there at East Main. Yeah.
No, I do see it as no stopping standing parking. No stopping standing parking beyond Main Street heading towards East Wash. So as long, yeah. So if that's going to be enforced, then Metro can stay on our double Y detour for that Saturday. Thank you. Sorry for the confusion.
Okay, no worries. Okay, I don't know if I just got notification I was using too much. I don't had too many things open. Okay, so let's see, where are we? We're going to go through the draft permit. Unless there's any other questions, discussion. Okay. Share my screen. This is the draft street use permit for Homie Fest 3. No street closure requested. Parking meters, 18 meters near Webster and East Main. And Jack, basically, will be connecting you with Parking Utility, and they will let you know which meters are available and where to get those signs, when to pick them up, how to pay for them, all that good stuff. So setup is 11 a.m. So the meter signs will be for 11 a.m. to 11:59 a.m. And there will be an indemnification for the city. We'll have you call parking to get your meter signs and find out which locations are available. This request is no street closure. Request for parking sidewalk space only. You must maintain access to Metro stops. Noise must be kept to a reasonable level at all times. 20-foot emergency access lane must be maintained. ADA accessible pathway must be maintained. No inflatables on city right away, no permanent markings, and you're required to clean up. I do want to say that I'd ask that you communicate with anyone that you're going to share these meters with that's part of the event, that they still have to follow all the regular parking rules as far as, you know, they can't be in any travel lanes, in any places that are not marked for your event. So, I mean, they can if it's a legal parking stall and they want to pay for it or whatever, but just to communicate that with everybody so that we don't have any double parking happening or unloading Absolutely. Into the traffic lane.
I'm very familiar with parking bans, so I'll make sure that everyone follows
the Yes. rules. Awesome. Thank you, Jack. Okay, so on the motion to approve, is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote on item number 3? Seeing none, the motion passes. All right, thanks, Jack. I'll follow up with you shortly.
Thank you.
Okay, recent events. We had Farmers Markets, Bree Stevens. We had the Parking Day on Langdon, Monroe Street Festival. Go ahead, Megan.
I just wanted to go back to the Bree Stevens. I was biking through the Bike Boulevard the other day when they were setting up for one of their shows, and I noticed that in a couple of locations, the barricades were like in the center of the crosswalk, and their person was sitting in the center of the crosswalk, and it was at the intersection of the one closest to the park, Mifflin and the one closest to the park.
Okay.
But if they could just be reminded to have their barricades on the outside of the crosswalk and not directly in the middle of it. It was fine to be able to cross through with my bike. I could get through. But when I was like stopped at the stop sign, I was like, this is like in the dead center of the crosswalk. But they had people there and they were doing a great job of like letting people in and out. But
yeah. They're just up. Focused on the passer throughs instead of the crossing. Okay. I think we're done with concerts, but there's other stuff happening there. Okay, so Willie Street Fair. A little rainy. Go ahead, Megan.
Definitely rainy, and that was a bummer. But I noticed a ton of stuff delivered early again. So I just don't, I think they just need to ask for what they really want and the dates they really want. It's not like the answer is no, and it doesn't cost them more money from what I understand. But they definitely had a lot of deliveries, and it was like things that I think they're arranging with to be delivered. And it might be like, I can't, like bike racks and, you know, those sorts of things. And they were days early from what the no parking signs were posted. And so just ensuring that they ask for the dates that they want to have stuff out.
Okay. There's been a few of that this year with like our annual events where it's like early and they seem unsure that they can ask for earlier times. Anyways. National Drive Electric. Megan.
I should just stay unmuted, I think, at this moment. There was the one dumpster that's there for the construction project was removed, but another dumpster from the city for the farmer's market dumpster got placed within the event perimeter. So kudos to the staff that showed up to move it at about 9 a.m. on a Saturday morning. And we were able to get it moved in a pretty okay spot for the rest of the day. But there was some issues with the concrete being cut and stuff that I think made it impossible for them to get it in on that Friday, where it normally is located. But the event organizer was pretty amazing with rolling with the punches and making the right phone call or trying to make the right phone calls and everything. And so it did all end up working out fine, but you know, and then I helped direct him to who are the right people to call for some of those specific things, but he was able to reach out to staff and address that. There was also five moving trucks that wanted to move, like huge box trucks that were moving into the sixth floor of the BMO Harris Bank building. And I had to direct them elsewhere because they weren't allowed, they were not coming into that event perimeter. There was another delivery vehicle that delivered into the block 89. They were able to manage to let them in, but I reminded them that the following week for Cheese Fair off the square, they would not be allowed in to make deliveries into that loading dock on that day. So you know, electric car fair, because they had a lot of moving parts, they were able to make a lot of movement. but it was quite an eventful morning before 9 a.m. in that location that day.
And Megan and I talked, and I'm going to send something to the team. If the agencies have day of numbers that we should be sharing with, you know, they have all our numbers, but we're not all always working on the weekends. Megan usually is, but, you know, so like if there is a weekend day of emergency number for your agency, I'm thinking about putting that together to share with applicants. Or even like if they need to communicate something to us, like, you know, Metro's main line would probably be a good one, or, you know, just kind of like if anything emergency, whatever comes up that they need to communicate. So I'm going to send some more out to everybody this fall to see if I mean, parks, it would be rangers, you know, not sure that every agency, I don't imagine risk has a weekend number, but probably not needed, you know, but anyways, just something we were talking about. Fetch 5K dog jog. That's pretty minimal impact. Badger Challenge.
That was canceled.
Oh. It was?
Yeah, it was a torrential storm and rainfall that Sunday. So Badger Challenge did not go off.
Oh, that's too bad. That's a huge event. Okay. Megan, go ahead. Nope. Yep.
I meant to click something else, and I don't have any comments on Badger Challenge.
Okay. All right. Black on State. Go ahead.
There was, I wasn't on site for the event, but leading up to the event, there was some issues with not calling in parking signs or getting parking signs and barricades. But we were able to mitigate the barricade situation by harvesting some that were used for Saturdays around the square and get them. So they had barricades on site that day. And it seems that they were able to manage around the parking manage around the fact that there were no parking signs posted. in that area. So we just discussed that those things need to be done a few weeks ahead for future, that that is not something that can be done day before, that it just needs to be addressed a few weeks beforehand. But other than that, pictures looked like the event went well.
Yeah, and thanks for helping with that. Ashley, go ahead.
Yeah, really quick. Sorry. I just wanted to comment on Black on State. I wasn't able to get parking signs called in or barricades called in. And to be honest, it just slipped my mind. I know that's something that, you know, is very important, and it looks different compared to other organizers because I am on this commission. So I kind of understand how things are supposed to be working. I am hoping to make Black on State an annual event. So I do want to let you guys know that I understand the importance of, you know, the things that I missed. But it was a very successful event. There was just about 13,000 people that came through over the 6 hours. And they spent an average of about 210 minutes, which is an hour more than, you know, what they usually spend on Sundays downtown. So I think it was successful, and just kind of having more time to make it happen will make it more successful and run smoother.
Perfect. Thank you. Campus fire safety. She's fair off the square. Go ahead.
I just want to say for Cheese Fair, like, most of the things went really well, and they just did a really good job with, you know, getting everything set up and just being like really on top of all of their stuff, more than I see in a lot of events. So I just wanted to say kudos to them for pulling everything together in a really nice and orderly fashion.
Yeah. Good. Great Midwest Hemp Fest, which ended up being at James Madison, but they did march up to the square.
Is that this weekend? Or was it last weekend?
It was last weekend.
Oh, because I swear they were drawing a paint, like a chalk drawing on the sidewalk that said October 5th and 6th on State Street that day.
Yikes. Go ahead, Caitlin.
Yes, there is another one that is taking place because they're actually two like rival groups. One says they're original, the other says they're original. So it's actually for this weekend, Friday and Saturday at State Street, on the Capitol grounds, is the Great Midwest Marijuana Harvest Festival. Mm-hmm. The other one was the hemp one. This one is the marijuana one. So yeah, there are two groups that say the other one stole their idea or whatever, but they have their separate events.
Interesting. Okay. Prost-Oktoberfest. And then Run Wild at the Violet Zoo. Okay. Updates on any updates for the team from your agency? And our next street use meetings in 2 weeks. And upcoming events. West High Homecoming Parade is today. Soon. We have some parking. Anything big? UW football game this weekend. Fire Chiefs Parade is Sunday. And then the following Saturday, we have the Cub Scout climbing event once I get their insurance. And then we have the G-Safe Trick or Trot. And then our farmers markets. All right. Can we have a motion and a second for adjournment? Motion Megan, second Caitlin. On the motion to adjourn, is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote? All right. Meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a good day.